Joe Biden has been a busy little beaver, signing more executive orders than the previous five presidents combined. So how are those Biden executive orders helping the average American? Not much. Here are some examples. Biden told Americans in his inaugural address, quote, "We have learned again that democracy is precious. Democracy is fragile. And at this hour, my friends, democracy has prevailed." Both of his friends applauded. But one would be forgiven for thinking otherwise, given the Biden administration's behavior on taking office. The United States today is being run more like a third world country than an advanced democracy. There is no question that Biden is Act 3 of the Obama presidency. Biden is surrounding himself with the same old gang that couldn't shoot straight under Obama. He issued dozens of executive orders in his first day, a new record. Yet, at a town hall in October, Biden promised this, quote, "I have this strange notion. We are a democracy. Things you can't do by executive order unless you're a dictator. We're a democracy. We need consensus," end quotes. Other examples, Biden broke his pledge to seek unity and backed a Senate impeachment trial for his predecessor, Donald Trump. Trump has not committed any known crime. Moreover, the Constitution does not provide for a former president to be impeached. Already, 45 senators have voted to declare the trial unconstitutional, meaning there is no chance of a conviction. The only purpose, then, is to try and prevent Trump from being able to run for office again. Pure, nasty politics. Democrats are scared to death that Trump will run again in 2024, and of the more than 74 million Americans who voted for him in 2020. Also, the Biden administration has not done anything to challenge the ongoing censorship of conservatives in social media, which the Bidens campaigned and actually supported. This administration's officials are delighted that Trump has been banned from Twitter because it has eliminated their most powerful opposition voice. In addition, the Department of Justice has begun prosecuting people for memes. The chilling effect on speech is real. Biden has killed many jobs in the fossil fuel industry by canceling the permit for the Keystone XL pipeline and suspending gas and oil leasing on federal lands. He did so even though there will be no benefit for our planet. Even Biden's climate envoy, John Kerry, admitted that U.S. emissions were not going to reach zero. But even if they did, the world's emissions would ensure that climate change continues. But in a third world dictatorship, the private sector is expendable. John Kerry is an out-of-touch liberal who sits atop a ketchup fortune due to his wife's family. He is also out of touch with average Americans. He told America's pipeline workers to just go find another job. These workers are highly skilled, and most make anywhere from $100,000 to $300,000 a year. How are they supposed to find another job, making that kind of money outside their skill set? These workers woke up one morning and found that with the stroke of an executive pen, Joe Biden had just ruined their lives. Kerry's comment was a foolish statement made by a foolish man. That foolish man flies around in his family jet with his wife's money purchased for him and burns up more carbon each year than a convoy of private cars. Progressives wonder why someone would attack a government building but they fail to understand that actions have consequences. And when you take actions that destroy people who have worked hard for decades, the consequences of that can be attributed to desperation. Biden continues to peddle the lie that our society is haunted by systemic racism. He is leading an assault on common national symbols and ideas, deleting the report of the 1776 Commission within moments of taking office. Biden attacked the report, which he clearly has not read, as offensive and counterfactual. Biden also imposed new transgender rules on the military and on amateur sports, short-circuiting debate about a sensitive subject. Men who decide to be a woman can now be allowed to compete in what has been a woman's sport. Why is that dangerous? More than 300 high school males can run faster than the fastest woman alive. It puts women at a severe disadvantage. Remember the last time your wife or daughter brought you a jar to open? It was not because they were lazy. It was because men are more muscular than the average woman. To make girls compete against boys is asinine. Another example? One of the only checks on a runaway executive or legislature is an independent judiciary. But Biden is pressing ahead with plans to reform the courts, potentially packing the Supreme Court with left-wing judges. To that end, he has appointed Bob Bauer to lead a supposedly bipartisan commission to study the issue. Bauer is Biden's former campaign lawyer and worked for Perkins Coie, the firm that arranged the fraudulent Russia dossier. He's now off the Biden campaign payroll and onto ours. Biden is also removing officials appointed by his predecessor to a variety of agencies, from the Voice of America to the National Security Council. The purge has even included officials like National Security Agency General Counsel Michael Ellis, who had previously been vetted through a bipartisan process. Trump complained about Obama holdovers, but he didn't fire them. He hired critics, even Democrats. Notably, Biden has not appointed one Republican to his cabinet. Not even Republican in name, like Mitt Romney or John Kasich. The Biden administration enjoys the benefit of fawning coverage from the mainstream media, which has thus far provided glowing reports about this new administration and continues to portray Trump and his supporters in the most negative light possible. The Washington Post kept a running tally of allegedly false statements by Trump. They have declined to do so for Joe Biden, even though Biden has a well-deserved reputation for telling lies, some on purpose, others due to his failing mental state. Another example, the National Guard ought to have been brought into the Capitol to reinforce police on January 6th. Their presence there was understandable in the aftermath of the Capitol riot. But even if the much-touted threats to the inauguration never amounted to much, they're still there. But now their presence has been extended for months, supposedly to thwart the threats to the Senate trial. It looks less like a legitimate mission and more like a show of force by Democrats against their political opponents, and, as always, at the expense of the American taxpayers. When President Biden, those words still are like fingernails scratching down a blackboard to me, announced former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg as his pick for transportation secretary, many people scratched their heads. Why would Biden tap someone who oversaw a small budget in a small town in the Midwest for such a role? That puzzle is finally coming together. It turns out that Biden favors Buttigieg's transportation views, specifically the idea that America should move away from gas tax and instead opt into a tax based on the number of miles a person drives. It would be a new way to provide cash for the Highway Trust Fund, which is currently funded from the federal gas tax. As it currently stands, the federal gas tax is 18.4 cents per gallon and 24.4 cents per gallon for diesel. Liberal states like California, Oregon, Washington State, and Colorado are already contemplating this so-called alternative. Biden's administration would have to figure out how to pay for his $1 trillion infrastructure plan, which includes more than $100 billion for the Transportation Department alone. During his confirmation hearing with the Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee, Buttigieg explained his take on the gas tax. He said, quote, "I think all options need to be on the table. As you know, the gas tax has not been increased since 1993 and has never been pegged to inflation. And it's one of the reasons why the current state of the Highway Trust Fund is that there's more going out than coming in," end quote. In the long term, he said, "We need to bear in mind also that as vehicles become more efficient and as we pursue electrification, sooner or later, there will be questions about whether the gas tax can be effective at all. Instead, Buttigieg wants us to consider taxing Americans on the number of miles they drive each day." He said, "A lot has been suggested recently about the idea of vehicle miles traveled basis. So if we are committed to the idea of user pays, then part of how you might do that would be based on vehicle miles traveled. But that raises, of course, concerns about privacy, and there remains some technological questions, too. Should the Biden administration move forward with taxing Americans based on the number of miles they drive on any given day, rural Americans would be the ones disproportionately impacted because they live further outside of metro areas. Many travel 20 to 30 miles or more one way to work or to do any kind of major grocery shopping. Farmers, especially those who live even further out, a few hours from a metropolitan area, would be punished because they don't live in inner cities. This is a prime example of why rural folks feel forgotten about. It's always about what's best for those who live in the cities, not about those who grow and transport our food or do the dirty work no one else is willing to do. It's about those who work in fancy offices in New York City, not the loggers and miners who work in dangerous conditions to provide heating options for the very people who look down their noses at them. Why reinvent the wheel? Could we not simply raise the gas tax, say 10 cents a gallon? That hurts, but it's far less painful than destroying fossil fuels and driving everybody to electric vehicles that have such limited capabilities. If they could give us an electric vehicle with the same range of miles as gas-powered ones and enough convenient charging stations that did not take more than 10 to 15 minutes to charge, it would be easy to climb on board. But the idea of driving from Raleigh to Atlanta and having to stop along the way to seek out a charging facility and then stay overnight to allow for the charging is not very appealing, not to mention having to stop multiple times. Biden also moved quickly to restore Palestinian aid, reversing Trump's policy and giving American tax dollars to a movement that supports terrorism and the destruction of the nation of Israel. Thanks to a Biden executive order, American taxpayers will again begin to support abortions in foreign countries. It's not enough that Biden supports the killing of babies in their mother's womb here at home. Now, he has reversed Trump's ban on the practice, and your tax dollars will spread to cover abortions in other countries. Will some liberal Democrat please explain to us why it's our responsibility to kill babies overseas? I am against the slaughter of babies. You can call it abortion. I call it slaughter. But I am appalled that my tax dollars are being sent overseas to support this brutal practice. I don't want to pay for it here, and I dang sure don't want to pay for it in Kenya or Egypt. Almost laughable is Biden's decree that you cannot call the COVID-19 virus the China virus or the Wuhan virus. Given all the money that has flowed from China into the pockets of Hunter Biden and the cut that was reserved for the big guy, it's understandable that Biden would cater to China. But this is a virus that was hatched in a laboratory in Wuhan, China, and spread across the rest of the world, including the United States. Whether they did it on purpose to bring down our economy, which it did, or by accident, is beside the point. Does Biden now ban the words German measles? No, because he doesn't owe Germany what he owes to China. Biden was barely in his chair in the Oval Office when China began to put pressure on Taiwan, using the lie that Taiwan was about to declare independence. They are testing Biden early. They will test him often. Watch him fold up like a soggy Dixie cup. By the way, if we are to tear down statues of Abraham Lincoln, should we not ban the use of the word Dixie cup? The foolishness goes on and on. I've wondered before why these progressive morons haven't demanded that Duke University and Duke Hospital change their names. The Duke ancestors were up to their eyeballs in slavery. I don't think it's necessary, but if you're going to destroy every vestige of slavery, doesn't Duke have to go? Is it not true that the Democrat Party would have to go? Susan Rice once said that she couldn't marry a white man because it might anger some of her companions. Was she not covering for racists? Was she not being a racist herself? In his latest effort to refill the swamp in Washington with Obama administration lackeys, Joe Biden has tapped former National Security Advisor Susan Rice to lead his White House Domestic Policy Council. Just as Valerie Jarrett was Barack Hussein Obama's puppet master, Susan Rice will pull the strings for Joe Biden behind the curtain. Rice will be a shadow president. She was on Biden's short list for vice presidential nomination last year and is a veritable poster child of Obama-era corruption. Her fingerprints were all over at least two of the most significant scandals of that supposedly spotless administration. The debacle surrounding the 2020 attack on U.S. facilities in Benghazi, Libya, and the outrageous unmasking of General Michael Flynn. Rice played a central role in the Benghazi fiasco. She was, after all, the public face of a blatant Team Obama lie about the cause of the deadly terror assault. She told the American people that the attack, which claimed the lives of four Americans, including Ambassador Christopher Stevens, was a spontaneous reaction to a YouTube video posted by an American. Michael Morell, the deputy CIA director at the time, and a vociferous Trump critic today, was baffled by Rice's insistence on that line. He said, "Why she said this, I don't know. It's a question only she can answer." Rice never gave a straight answer. But isn't it rather obvious that this lie was told for two basic reasons? One, to deflect from the Obama administration's intelligence foul-up, namely failing to detect and protect against the attack. And second, to blame America foremost for jihadist violence against us. If only we didn't make those irresponsible YouTube videos, the world would be a safer place. Is this the kind of thinking Susan Rice will bring to our domestic policy? Yes, it is. But as sad as the Benghazi scandal was, and it was terrible, it pales in comparison to Rice's involvement in spying on the Trump administration's transition team and then lying about it. On April 2017, Rice was asked by PBS's Judy Woodruff if she was aware of members of the Trump team being surveilled in connection with foreign investigations. Her answer, "I know nothing about this. I was supposed to see the reports." But we now know that Rice was very much aware of it and the leader in spying efforts, including the unmasking of General Flynn. Perhaps Biden is comfortable with Rice's lies because he himself has a record of dishonesty regarding the effort made against the Trump transition team by the Obama administration, which he now admits to having had knowledge of. In any event, with the Justice Department's probe into Team Obama's 2016 transition shenanigans still underway, Rice will join Biden as a top White House player. The common denominator of these two scandals, either one of which should be enough to keep someone out of a position of public trust, is the lying, the blatant lying. For 4 years, we heard nothing but wailing from Democrats and their media allies about Trump's vulgar rhetoric destroying norms. But here is Susan Rice, who has blatantly lied about the deaths of Americans and the attempt to undermine an incoming administration of a different party. And the media are unlikely to raise a peep about her returning to the highest circles of power. The media will be as quiet as a mouse in a small house with 10 cats. A stale smell is beginning to waft over Team Biden as it slowly assembles, like a dusty attic door being opened after years of being locked. Rice epitomizes an Obama administration that thought so highly of itself and its progressive goals that being honest with the American people was of little concern to its principles. The selection of Susan Rice signals two things. First of all, the talk about unity. The Biden administration is looking to have a political fight with Republicans. Susan Rice is no peacemaker. Remember when she said that Sergeant Bo Bergdahl had served with honor and distinction? Independent experts have cast doubts on Rice's judgment, given the questions about whether Bergdahl was captured by the Taliban after deserting his post in Afghanistan. Rice came under fire for touting Bergdahl's military record after his former platoon mates accused him of deserting his post and endangering the lives of fellow soldiers. In fact, some of them died looking for Bergdahl. The Obama administration released 5 senior Taliban commanders from Guantanamo Bay in exchange for Bergdahl. Maybe more important, it shows that this Obama administration 2.0, with Uncle Joe smiling and waving, has absolutely no regrets about its past corruption. For the American people, that is a very, very dangerous combination. Recently, we found that old Uncle Joe had done us another favor. Under Donald Trump, we had decided that these illegal immigrants would be kept in Mexico, outside of the United States border, until their hearings could be determined. Biden is doing away with that. He has decided to let these people come across to stay in America while their hearings proceed. That could take years. But the point is, instead of Mexico footing the bill for these illegal immigrants that are housed on their side of the border presently, the United States taxpayers will now have to take up that responsibility. We already know that many of these young kids brought over are brought over by people other than their parents. It's naive to say we're going to go looking for their parents. What parent? Thousands of parents gives up their child and doesn't come looking for them. Obviously, it wasn't mom and dad that brought them over here. But Joe Biden seems not to see that. And so now we're going to have these illegal aliens who were being kept on the Mexican side allowed into the United States. We'll have to put up housing for them. We'll have to feed them. We'll have to take medical care of them. And it's all going to fall on the American taxpayers. That's one thing that Trump had done that we should all appreciate. But Joe Biden, with the stroke of a pen, has put us all back into purgatory. I thank you for listening today. I'll be back again next week, God willing. Same time, same station. And God bless America.